You're listening to a podcast from 702.
But for now, though, we speak to a very important South African as far as academia, as well as the arts is concerned. And that is Professor Pitika Ntuli. He is a sculptor, a poet, a writer, an academic, and he has contributed to not just the political, but also the artistic discourse in South Africa with his representations of South African society, whether through his sculptures or poetry and his writings. He's had a new exhibition that is part of the National Arts Festival, the virtual arts festival that we have been in the throes of over the last 2 weeks. And the exhibition features 40 sculptures, and it's also at the Melrose Gallery. You'll be able to experience it virtually, but also because of COVID times, that's why it's available virtually. And also you can visit the gallery in light of the limits to the numbers that can be in one given place. And it is simply entitled Asbuyele Emasisweni, Return to the Source. And he speaks to us now, which is quite an honor. Professor, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, and also to the listeners, Susanna.
You know, I knew that today was coming, that we're going to be speaking, and I thought back to our last conversation. It's been 5 years or so since I last interviewed you. How have you been?
What I remember about that interview is that I am a Zania, truth made redundant by a tyrant's gag. I bend, but I do not break. I move like the wind, like the sea, retracing my origins. That's why I say Asbuyele Emasisweni.
There we go. Masbuyele Emasisweni. It is such a beautiful, evocative title to this exhibition. Let's talk about why and the source, the expression of the source that is that you've portrayed through this exhibition, and why you feel that we need to return to the source.
When you look around you find that our parliament is a Western type parliament. Our universities are the Oxbridge, type. Our religions are something else. We are not exactly Africans as we were originally meant, to be. We are operating in a world where we are not particularly liked, and we are trying to imitate the people that have placed us into this position. So I thought that we have to put up onto the agenda for discussion who we are as African, people. What are our values, systems, and what do we need to do with them? So in carving these 45 bones with these, and each and every bone in a tagazelo, it has got its own poems, on it. In Africa, when you throw bones, you are divining the state of things. I am divining the state of our environment, the state of our politics, the state of our education, the state of our religion, the state of practically everything that defines us or is supposed to define who we are.
Let's stay with the significance of the bones for a little bit more, because you created these works using different types of bones, and you then used other things like beads, other materials like beads, shells, their chains, even computer circuit boards, animal skins, marble. So it is it's the bones at the heart of it, and then, of course, augmented and supplemented by these other materials. What is the significance? As you said, culturally, we know that when you throw the bones, you are divining. But I want to stay with that a little bit more, especially pertaining to the source.
I say to myself these days, I ask myself so many, many questions. How can bones be so brittle yet be so durable? I visit Mrs. Pless, that old woman in the cradle of humankind, who waited 3.5 million years to tell us of our origins. Then I knew that bones have secrets. So the secret in the bones for divination, the secret in the bones, for the spirit.
Yes.
So I thought that by bringing all of these 45 bones, and then take 33 of these bones and give one bone to each of the people, I feel, with spirit, creative writers, musicians, dramatists, young people, you know, old people, so that they can deal with these pieces. And what are these pieces going to make them feel?
Yes.
You know, because in Africa, we say the group of trees break the angry wind, but the tree that towers above the rest is broken by the wind. So you don't do this simply individually. That is what the concept of Ubuntu is. I am because you are. So I make the sculptures. I get involved with a number of people who have got other insights that I may not actually possess, that reinforces me to do something even better.
Yes, yes. So there's Mama Sibongile Khumalo, there's the wonderful Simphiwe Dana, the super talented Zolani Mahola. Oh, and then of course the generous Yvonne Chaka Chaka, Mama Gcina Mhlophe, Napo Mashiani, the list just goes on. Duduzo Makatini, Mama Shero Twala. So as you say, these are your collaborators on this particular project, but they're also African creative traditions that you use and that are celebrated through this exhibition. And traditions that were interrupted. So this is this also another layer to the theme of returning to the source?
Yes. You know, if you Google Lichtenberg heads,
yes,
they're emashishin, you are going to find terracotta sculptures that were created here in this place 500 years AD. Here in South Africa. You're not going to find it in your curriculum or anything, but you can Google, you can find these things. There is a Tulamela civilization. There's Mapunguwe. There's Swartkrans. There are a number of places. What happened is that the apartheid regime said that white people arrived simultaneously with black people who were coming in up from the north. Now, if at all you buy that thing, that idea in itself, you are not going to go out and dig the old Stone Age, the old Iron Age, the old civilizations that were there before they actually arrived. They've been suppressed. So going back to Emasisweni, it means also we have to come up with an agenda of digging out those civilizations that are buried, in here. Look at Adam's, calendar in Waterfall Boven. Those megalith stones have been there for 75 thousands of years, yet we just don't know anything about them. So I'm throwing these bones so that we may be in a position to rethink and to reimagine our university curriculums, our health systems, our governing systems, and practically everything that should make us who we are. But also, Azania, what's also contained in these bones I feel so strongly, particularly about, is that from the Cape right to America, there is a bridge of bones of over 14 million bones of African people who died in the Middle Passage, and to those who died in the cotton fields of America, in the Caribbean, everywhere, to pay tribute to their grandchildren. Like George Floyd, Donald, Rodney King, and all of these other people who are being murdered. And also the bones of the women we kill here in South Africa. We rape and kill, femicides, xenophobia, all of those issues are put up onto this agenda so that we could be proud African people, welcoming, loving, living with everybody, else.
Absolutely. I think you mentioned Adam's calendar, also known as Inzalo Yelanga. That's the name I know it by. Adam's calendar is actually secondary, but Inzalo Lenyanga, it's like the birth of the sun, or what the sun has given birth to, and what a sacred and powerful space that we don't even acknowledge or just give it the significance, along with others, of course, the significance that it needs to hold in our society and the significance in the role that it's played in the lives of black people and our healing and spirituality. So just you mentioning that, I just want to celebrate.
Yes. It's all over. So me, I was so very good and very impressed that the Minister of International Relations, the Honorable Naledi Pandor, who yes. opened the division, was also responsible for triggering it up, because a couple of years ago, she had organized a big conference at the Cradle of Humankind, called the Reemergence of African Astronomy.
Mm-hmm.
She was taking us back to Emma Sisweni to find out where our astronomy came from, how the people of Mali knew the stars that existed before high powered telescopes were there. There's a star called Potolo, which means a small seed, Sirius B, that rotates around Sirius once in 60 years. And they celebrate Sikwi, which is a celebration once in 60 years. When she brought that up, then I said jocularly, since we are here in the Cradle of Humankind, the emergence of astronomy has got a place. Maybe one day
yes.
I will liberate Mrs. Pless and carve her into an art piece. And that's what really happened. And she had really put up very powerful feelers. She didn't talk only about Pitik Antuli's work or the other people he works with. Resonating in her speech was her awareness of the rest of Africa, that we are not separate from Africa. Whatever we are doing here, if it is something that we have to be proud of, it is also Africa that has got to be proud of, because we believe, and she believes, in a more of a civilizational state of one Africa, Cape to Karo, Morocco to Malagasy, in the same way as China believes in a civilizational rather than a state, a nation state,
mm-hmm.
where all the conflicts of the people come back. So going back then to Emma Sisweni is for us to begin to think about our interconnectedness with the environment, with each other, with other people. We are not saying we can go back to the past in its purity,
mm-hmm.
but you're going back to the past, so that when we engage with people in China, in Japan, in America, or anywhere else, we do it on our own terms, not as photocopies
mm-hmm.
of other people's ideas. And
absolutely, absolutely, as Buyele. But when, as the times that I've spoken to artists, I remember a conversation I had with Lebo Mashile, for instance, and she talks about how you work has to scare you as well. The work that if it doesn't, in its wonder, and if it doesn't scare you, then perhaps, you're not pushing it enough. It's not fully being realized, for instance. And other artists who say that they start the process of creating without knowing the outcome, the ending and the product of what they are, when they start, the product of what will come out when they start. Is it much the same for you too when you start to create? Do you know the ending, or do you let the material and the story emerge as you go along?
Well, what happens if you know what you are going to do? Then there's no point in doing it. Because you already know it, all you have got to do, you are going to be technical.
Mm-hmm.
You may start with something that you really want to do, but it never ends up exactly as you really wanted it to be, because you open yourself to new forces. Your spirit gets into you, your subconsciousness goes into it. Words and ideas, images and shapes that you have seen before, you had forgotten, you begin to see them in front of you as you do your work. So you open yourself to the possibility of change all the time, ceaselessly.
So it is much the same. I was looking at this long list of contributions that you have made to our society as a sculptor, a poet, a writer, academic. You are a healer. You are a member of the academia. You've contributed to political discourse. You yourself were a political prisoner. There's just so much as far as the rich tapestry of your life is concerned. You're a polymath. And I wondered how does your mind work, for a polymath, someone who just wants to be so engrossed, who is curious about their world to the degree that you are curious about, and you go deep into whatever, whether it's poetry, whether it's writing, whether it is the sculpture work that you do. Is there, I don't even want to use the word Renaissance man or woman, but is there an African equivalent for that expression? And can you give insights into just the workings of someone who is so multiversed as you?
I mean, I think it is almost routine in terms of Africa to see these things. Like, when you look at the healer, for instance.
Yeah.
The healer must have a costume. The healer, they must compose songs. There must be dances. There must be masks. There must be color. There must be painting. Everything there is actually interconnected. Maybe I can try to answer this question by letting you and the listeners listen to this very, very, very short poem. Where is it?
Appeased the angry earth, abused, polluted, pillaged, raped. Dance with me the ancestral dances to heal our souls and those of those who drown in rivers of greed and corruption in our land.
The poem starts by saying, Prometheus stole the fire of the gods and gave them to us to light our caves and to cook our foods. Mm. And therefore, that's what Africa actually does, that the multiplicity of things. You know, what's happening in Tanzania is that all our lives that we remember have been dominated by a Newtonian physics of binary opposites.
Mm-hmm.
Good, bad, right, left. Head, but everything emphasizing, the head rather than even feelings and spirit. Therefore, men have got brains, women have got feelings. All of those things were dominating us. But in the world we live today of connectivity, the world of quantum mechanics, everything is interrelated, interdependent. It is also, interrelated.
Mm.
When you speak about Ubuntu, I am because you are. It is not either you and I, it's you, I, and us. Mm. So this openness that you seek an answer to is just one thing that is actually based in our own origin. That's why, as we are Masisweni, we need to go and dig the philosophies that really underpinned our origins and as well as our existence.
It's been wonderful to speak to you, especially at a time when the nation is going through a very, very difficult time. Are there any words as an elder in our society that you can leave us with today?
All I can say is that let us love one another, care for each other, walk side by side each other, experience the same rain, the same peace, not the rich, no poor, religious or irreligious. Let us just be human beings, Africans, living our simple lives in the context of our time.
Thank you so much, Professor. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Azania.
Well, Director,
you've renewed me.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. I'm glad this call to you today has done so. And of course, our listeners will also get an opportunity to be renewed by the divine inspiration that you've had that has led you to creating this 45 sculpture piece as Buyele Emasuswini exhibition. The exhibition is at Melrose Gallery. You can go to melrosegallery.co.za, and you can also go to the Standard Bank Standard Bank website as well. Because he's done this in partnership with the season that we're in, where we are reimagining the arts even in the midst of COVID-19.